So this week we're looking at what did Jesus do? Yeah. In other words, we want to do what Jesus did. We've been looking at the last few weeks discipleship, and we've looked at being with Jesus. We've looked at being like Jesus, and now we're looking at doing what Jesus did. This is what disciples did when they used to follow their rabbi, and so the disciples of Jesus would do the same thing. And we're trying to encourage you to say, who are you walking with in your faith? So obviously you want to know Jesus, but none of us should be isolated in our faith. So we're encouraging people, if you're not in a life group, we have some life groups, go and find out about them, join them. We're linking what we do on a Sunday into those groups where you can go and discuss them. Next week, I'm hoping that we might be able to give you a little more update on what it means to be a mentor. So we're hoping to have some people in the church that can be mentors, and you can go to them and say, hey, I'd love to meet with you occasionally and just hear what you have to say from your walk with Jesus. And how can it help me? And maybe start to grow as someone else helps you in that walk. Or maybe there's someone you feel close to that you could meet with and pray with regularly. So if life groups aren't for you, there's this way of being mentored. Or maybe there's someone you could walk with and pray with regularly. We don't want people to feel they're alone in their faith. We should all be with someone. The disciples were always sent out in twos. It's not an individual thing. It's a community thing. And so today, we're going to look at this thing of Jesus, what Jesus did. And the next 3 weeks, we're doing three things. This week, we're going to look at Jesus welcomed the people. And we're going to look at the feeding of the 5,000. And interestingly, at the beginning of that story, we're going to read it in a minute, it says that Jesus welcomed the people, he taught the people, and he healed the people. And those are three of the things he did. And so we should be looking at them as, okay, if that's what he did, how do we do those things? And so this week, we're going to think about how he welcomed the people. And it's so applicable, those words that have been shared about come as you are, come to Jesus, because he wants to welcome you. He has open arms. He comes and he says, I want to know you. I love you. You can have a relationship with me. You can know your purpose. And today, you are welcomed into that relationship. So let me ask this question. How do you make people feel when they meet you? Okay, so if someone meets you for the first time, how do they feel? It's an interesting question to ask yourself. Do you bring joy or do you bring... we can't all be happy all the time. I'm not saying that. Don't go around being, yes, I'm great. You know, that's not what I'm asking. But are people warmed to you? Do they feel comforted when they're with you or do they struggle? Do they feel at home? Are we happy to encounter each other? It's an interesting question. And I've been thinking recently about the UK as well. I'm not sure we're the most welcoming country. And that's a challenge, isn't it? I'm saying that. I'm British, UK citizen. I lived in Brazil for 9 years. And you'd walk down the street in Brazil and you'd go, bon dia, and the next person would say, bon dia, that's hello, good morning, or bon tarde, the other person would say. I've walked around Huntingdon multiple times. I've gone, good afternoon. And it's interesting, isn't it? And welcome is really important. I mean, whether it's a nation, whether it's us as individual, how we make people feel is really important. And how do people feel when they come in our church? Now, I have to say to you, well done. Because I think people who come to HCC feel welcomed. I mean, last Sunday was evidence of that. Great morning when we did Cafe Church. People came in, felt at home, felt comfortable. You welcomed them, you got involved. That's awesome. How do people feel when they come to your small group? I hope it's the same as we feel when we come here. So yes, we should make people feel welcome in our activities, whether it's the youth group or the parent and toddlers, whatever it is we do. Jesus' example was to welcome people and all kinds of people, okay? He didn't have all the perfect people. It was actually all the messed up people. Come as you are. All the messed up people went to Jesus. The prostitutes, the sinners, the tax collectors, all the people who needed him. We're going to come to that in a little bit. But ultimately, we should have a welcome for everyone. Now, he doesn't leave us as we are. He calls us to repentance and change, but initially we come to God and then he works on changing us and making us more like him, doesn't he? Okay, so we're thinking about that. And so I'm going to read you the story of the feeding of the 5,000. You may have heard this preached on in a different kind of context, really. And we're going to come to a little bit of that, I think. But we're going to think about this. So it's Luke chapter 9, and we're looking at verses 11 onwards. No, verse 10 to 17. So here it is. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they'd done. He took them with him and withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them. There we go. There's the word. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, taught them, and he healed those who needed healing. Three things. Simple, isn't it, actually? Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something." Just imagine if that was you. What would you do? I don't know. They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. You know, I don't know about you, but I'd panic to feed 6 people, let alone 5,000. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, broke them, then he gave them to disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Amen. What a great word, isn't it? And there's lots to go here. So the first thing I want to think about, first slide, next slide, is that actually it was inconvenient to welcome 5,000 people, wasn't it? It wasn't really the thing they wanted to do. In fact, they'd been so busy that they were going to find a quiet place, yes? And the crowds followed. Just imagine, yes? I don't know how you feel. All you want is peace and quiet. Have you been in that place? Okay, I'm going to go put my feet up, have a cup of tea or whatever you might choose to drink. Glass of wine, maybe. And you're interrupted by something. Something comes along. Or you're sat in an office. I know. I mean, I remember back in the day, it doesn't happen so much here. But when I was in Notting Hill, the office seemed to be the place for everyone to be as a pastor. And you wanted to get on with the work, and constantly someone would come into your office and you never got the things done. You wanted to get done. And sometimes you had to say, "I'm sorry, guys, this interruption, I've got to get on. I'm going to shut the door and get on with my work." And those interruptions can be difficult, but they can be God-ordained, can't they? There's a balance. We need boundaries, and we need to be able to have our own time. But sometimes God says something along, and you're like, "No, this I have to do this," okay? And God can interrupt you, and perhaps it might be God is calling you to help someone, maybe to give the right word at the right time to someone. It might be, you never know, in that moment when you're interrupted, God has a miracle to perform. And that might not be like a physical healing, but it might just be the moment that changes someone's life because you've spoken a word or shown kindness in a moment when someone was really broken and needed that. Yes? And so, though this was a really inconvenient moment, they were looking for that quiet place, it was not that. And so, our welcome does not always have to be for the people we choose either, okay? It's easy to deal with people we kind of relate to, similar people, people that we feel like, "Oh, they're on my wavelength, I could hang out with them, that's great." But what about someone you don't get on with? Okay, I'm not going to read this scripture, but Jesus welcomed everyone. If you look at Matthew chapter 9, 9 to 12, because of time, we won't read it. But Jesus went to Matthew's house, and he sat down in Matthew's house, and he sat down with the tax collectors and the sinners. And the Pharisees, so the religious people, I suppose you'd say church people, the vicars, I don't know, saw what happened and they said, "Why is he sitting with sinners?" Okay, and they questioned it. And Jesus replied to them, I think I've put it up here. He said, "The well do not need a doctor. I've come to call sinners to repentance." In other words, he was there to be with the unpopular people of the time, not just the holy people. Now, to be clear, he did sit with the holy people as well. He had a chat with Nicodemus, I think it was, who was a Pharisee. He did relate to them, but some of them rejected him. okay? And so we need to know that, God calls us to go to the people that, others don't like sometimes. We have to show people love. We have to share the gospel. It means building a relationship, and it means initially accepting someone where they're at. And that might be they don't share the same beliefs as you. They have some weird and wacky things they've done. They have, you know, all kinds of problems. But actually, God says you need to be with those people. And my challenge actually is, you know, sometimes we can live in a Christian bubble. But are we with the people who need to hear about Jesus? Because when I look at the world today, people need to hear about Jesus. There's no truth. There's no kind of safety or security. Everything's shifting. And we have a solid, firm foundation that we need to share with those people. Here's the truth. If you've got nothing to cling on to, here's Jesus, and we need to share him. I grew up in an organization called the Salvation Army. I'm sorry, I might speak about it often because it was where I formed my faith in many ways. William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army, and apparently one of the things he said was go for souls and go for the worst. The worst. Do you really want to go and sit with some of the worst people? And sit? Actually, that's when God does his miracles and changes people, isn't it? Miraculously. I've seen it happen, like drug addicts who come to Jesus and over the years come to faith, and God changes them, doesn't he? Okay? So it might be that we have to associate with people we're not too keen on associating with, but God wants them saved. God wants them to know they're loved, they're precious, come as you are. That's what we were saying, wasn't it? Okay, so it might be inconvenient. Then, might be messy. It might be messy. That's the next slide, please, now. So Jesus welcomed the people. He taught them. Then the disciples think, time's up. So what happens? Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here, he replied. You give them something to eat. Now, do you have sympathy with the disciples? I for sure do. Just imagine you've been there all day. You've been listening all day. You've been on your feet. All those people. Do you ever get peopled out as well? Sometimes we can be peopled out and we do need space. But Jesus turns around to them, probably all like, oh, I've had enough. Oh, you give them something to eat now. Really? I wonder whether they thought, are you crazy, Jesus? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not blaspheming, I don't think. Perhaps they were tired and fed up. And it was messy, wasn't it? Okay. And so this hospitality, in one sense, is beyond the call of duty. You know, we sometimes do things and go, I've done that much, and that's me finished now. And sometimes that has to happen. We do need rest. We do need space. But sometimes in that moment, you might be called to do something more. And that's when it's challenging, isn't it? When we're called to do something more. Okay, it's messy. There wasn't enough food either. Now, let me ask this question. If someone was coming to your home, what do you do? Who cleans up? You can raise your hand. You know, I don't want people coming around and the house is in the mess. You maybe tidy things. You make it look presentable. Maybe you get a cake in, you know, because if someone's coming around for a cup of tea, the other day I had some people around, I thought, I'll go get a nice piece of cake. I don't bake cakes. I bought a cake. But anyway, so got a cake in, a cup of tea, all of that. Nice, okay? But what about when you haven't cleaned up? Okay, when the washing's still on the side, out the washing machine, wet, and you haven't hung it up, your bin is stinking and giving off a smell, and whatever else is happening in your house, your son's left the football in the middle of the lounge or whatever. Are you still welcome to willing to welcome people into the mess? And I'd like to challenge us that sometimes, what is the most important thing? Is it important about how we look or what we do? Because sometimes actually, welcoming people into the mess is genuine. It's authentic. Even if you go, well, you have to take me as I am, you know, that's okay sometimes. Sometimes it's okay to welcome people when it's messy. In fact, sometimes it's better when the church is a messy place. Maybe you've heard the people saying, I don't like going to church. It's full of hypocrites. Have you heard that? Yeah, I've heard people say that. Have you heard people say, the people outside of church are much easier to get on with. You know, people in church, oh, they do my head in. I've heard that lots of times. But you know what? We are all broken people. And you will never get to a church that is perfect. And we're all on a journey. So yes, you're going to encounter hypocrites in church. And yes, you're going to encounter people who are broken. But we're not perfect. And we're on a journey. And that's where we learn forgiveness and love and trying to support one another. And so yes, when someone's frustrating you, you try and work with it. You try and forgive. You try and deal with your anger or your frustration. And it's about changing you and changing other people, isn't it? Okay. Have you ever been to the perfect church? Anyone been to one? I haven't. I mean, some can look like it. I have to say, some churches today, they have their amazing, like, big stages with the blacked out stuff and the lights. I know in Brazil that could happen, and you were like, wow, this is such a show, it's awesome. And yeah, that's great, and I'm not saying it's wrong all the time, but sometimes that can seem like a bit of a show. It might not seem like it's genuine, okay? Depends on the people you encounter, I suppose. But actually, people today are looking for genuineness and authenticity. And so when they come, if it's a bit messy, that's okay, isn't it? And we want people to know that they can come into that place. Okay? So today, don't think that you have to be perfect. Don't think that everything has to be right. Don't wait until you're perfect to start welcoming people or sharing the gospel, because Jesus can use you where you're at now. And he will continue to develop you and work in you, but you don't have to be perfect. Where will you start? How will you share the gospel with people? How will you show them that they're loved? And well, now the disciples decide to be obedient. They don't go, oh, we're fed up, we're tired, we can't do it. They just get on with it. And he organizes the people, and then they have to feed them. With what? And here's what I've said, kind of to come into a conclusion, if you like. With just a little. Okay, so the next slide. They gave just a little. So they only had these 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know the story. This is the bit that we often talk about, isn't it? And so that was not enough, humanly speaking, was it? It wasn't enough. And actually, sometimes we don't have to provide everything. We don't have to have everything set and ready. We don't have to have a huge banquet in place. We give God what we have and we start somewhere, don't we? Yes? And we sometimes think, oh, I've got to have more resources, plenty of people to make a difference. But actually, that's not what God asks of us. He asks of us to give what we have, yes? He takes what we have. Now, who's heard of Heidi Baker? Yeah, she's a missionary that worked out in Mozambique, and she has done a lot of stuff that you could term miraculous. I've heard some of her teaching, and one of the stories is basically about them in Mozambique. They'd been working in a centre, and then they were thrown out of the centre, so she went and worked in her home, and the people who were in the centre, the children, came round their home. And so then other local churches started to help them, but they were really struggling. And there's this story. Basically, they'd been threatened. So eventually, community reported that there was a contract out to kill Heidi. And so her ministry was told to cease religious activities and stop helping people with unauthorized distributions of support. So they had to leave the children, and they were left behind and beaten. And they were punished. But when they continued to worship Jesus, over time, almost all of the children eventually left the center to camp out in or around their house. When other Christian ministries heard about this, they put some of the kids in their unused building. And as you might imagine, food began to run out. They served the crowd and they became desperate. One day, a friend from America, from the embassy, bought the Baker family a pot of chili to feed Heidi and her husband and their children. But just as Jesus blessed the loaves of bread and 2 fish, they served and served 5,000. Heidi blessed that pot of chili and she fed over 50 hungry children. In other words, there wasn't enough. She prayed over it and started to hand it out, and then God multiplied it. It still happens today. It's a remarkable modern miracle. Now, you might be sitting there going, yeah, probably AI, probably nonsense, because what do we believe today? This one I've heard about before. I don't think it's made up. I think it's genuine, okay? And so we see that God can take the little, just like he did in the Old Testament, in the Bible, and he can do the same today. He can take your little. Maybe you think what you have isn't much. Maybe you think your skill or ability is not enough or not useful. If we offer just our little to God, he can multiply it and offer a bigger welcome than maybe we originally thought possible. And as I was thinking about this, okay, I was thinking about what could God do here? What could God do if we were all giving our time, talent, and resources to him? How much more would he be able to do? Often our fear holds us back. Like we feel like we're not good enough or we haven't got much to give. But God is saying, I can take it if you just give it me. Just hand it over. Look, I know you feel ashamed or not worthy or not strong enough or whatever it is. I can take it. And what if we all did that in HCC? Okay, how might many people might we see coming through the doors? Okay, how many people might we see impact in Huntingdon, the surrounding area for the kingdom, if we give just our little to God and say, I'm going to use it, and not just when we're in church, when we're at work, when we're with our family, when we're with our friends. Okay, what can I do for the kingdom? So we're coming to a conclusion, and I want to say one other thing. Will you hear God's welcome? This morning, you might be sat there and you've maybe never really gone, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Jesus came, he died for you to take all of your sin on himself so you could be forgiven and given eternal life. And if we walk with him and have a relationship with him, one day we will enter heaven. And there's a thing he said that he said, I will say to those who've served me, welcome my good and faithful servant. Who wants to hear that? Yeah. And this morning, if you haven't asked Jesus into your life, then, or if you've walked away, you have the opportunity this morning to come back to him and say, I want to recommit my life to God. And so in conclusion, are you willing to be inconvenienced, to give that inconvenient welcome, okay? When the timing's out or the people are the wrong people and just not what you want, okay, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to get into the mess, you know? Can you offer what you have? Even if you feel like it's not a lot or you're in too much of a mess or you're not ready, are you ready to put those things to God? And are you ready to give even what you feel might be little to him and then trust him because he will multiply it? Believe me. You know what? I never thought God would use me when I was growing up. I was a little lad who grew up in a little village in Bedfordshire, went to a small little church, and I thought, well, you know, I'll give what I... God's taken me to Brazil. He's brought me here. He's done lots of things in my life that I never thought. And it's not me. Nothing to do with me. It's God. God does the stuff. Do you know, little secret, I don't love being at the front leading. It's not like, oh, yeah, but I know God called me, so I'm faithful to it, and I do it. But you know what? Often we might not feel like we're the person, oh, God, choose someone else. There's somebody else who'd do that better than me. No, he can use you. You are precious, however small or insignificant. You're not. And so this morning, make that response to him. Give him what you have. So we're going to move into finishing off now. I think I'll invite the worship band back.